Amazon. Y'all know the drill. Gives us a little kickback, helps us do the podcast. As always, Bob is with me. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, man? How's your week going? Or the end of the week, I guess. It's Sunday. We're going to be starting a new week here.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah. I'm on my new computer, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, you should be.
Yes.
Long time coming on that.
Yeah, I'm actually... It's so nice because, like, even if you have a good computer, like, there's just little things that just happen, you know? Like, programs just, like, don't work the way... There's, like, little things that happen and...
Well, in general, you should... If you like yourself, you should reinstall Windows, like, every year.
I would say every 6 months, really.
Yeah. Depending on use. Depends on... How many modifications you're making, but
yeah,
and then on top of that, go ahead and throw in all brand new top of the line hardware like you've got.
Yeah,
and you're on Cloud 9 over there, I assume.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's a nice transition. I haven't got the game on this yet. I literally installed Steam last night, so
nice.
We'll talk about it because I did the video
for the build.
We did all that. Let's just jump into reviews this week. And this is a big week, real big week for Intel. And we've been talking about Intel a lot because we've been reviewing a lot of their processors. But this past week, Intel launched their 8th generation Core desktop processors. And we got the chance to take a look at two of them, starting with the flagship, which is the Core i7-8700K, which is the first 6-core... mainstream desktop processor, which is pretty awesome.
By the stats, it's a sick piece.
Yeah, so this effectively will replace the i7-7700K, which was the current flagship, pretty much that everybody's using, a lot of people are using in their gaming builds. Basically, we go from a quad core to a 6-core part. This is 6-core, 12-thread. Base clock of 3.7 gigahertz. It boosts up to 4.7 gigahertz. TDP of 95 watts. Fully unlocked. So this is a K-series processor, so you know the drill. You can overclock this. You know, you can do all that kind of stuff. Comes out a little bit more expensive. It is $359 because the 7700K launched at $305. A little bit more expensive, but you are getting two more cores and more cash and all that kind of stuff. So
sure, yeah.
Well,
just whether we should have to pay for that or not is up for debate, I suppose.
Yeah, so the big thing with this is we have more cores, right? You're going to see a dramatic increase in multi-core performance. It's insane. It's just like we saw when AMD released their Ryzen processors. Because they were high core count, high thread count, we saw great performance over the previous generation. This is really what you're going to see here. And the thing is, Intel's only added two more cores, which is pretty impressive, really. And I think the big thing that it speaks to is that I did a comparison of the 6700K, 7700K, and the 8700K. So the past three generations.
Yeah, it's a good spread.
And what I did in this kind of comparison is that, you know, the difference between the 6700K and 7700K in terms of multi-core performance was about 7%, 6 to 7%. Which isn't a lot. But if we go from the 6700K to the 8700K, you're looking at about 40%. Big difference. So
huge leap, yeah.
Yeah, so even compared to the 7700K, you're looking at around 35%, 36%. Increase over the previous generation. That is the type of multi-core performance that we haven't seen from Intel in such a long time.
I'm pretty sure it's been since Sandy Bridge that we've seen a part that comes out and like actually has a huge leap in performance like this.
Yeah, and obviously that has to do with the adding two more cores and all of that.
It's a fast part too.
Yeah, it's a very fast part. It even single core performance is better,
right?
So in our test, it blew all of the previous generation quad core parts out of the water. It competes very well against a Ryzen 7 1700X, which is an 8-core 16-thread part,
right?
You know,
kind of brings it back around to the Intel being better per core.
Yeah, and it obviously, just like the 7700K, this is going to be better at gaming. It just is. Ryzen parts just aren't there still.
Yeah.
In my testing, you know, I test three different games, and in those games, the Intel parts still do better. You know, the only thing with this part, and, you know, it's kind of like, not to say this was rushed out, but I believe it was, is that the thermal performance is up there.
Is it bad?
If you're going to put a full multi-core load on this, you're looking at, I mean, I have a Kraken X52, that's what I test all my CPUs on, and you're looking around 87C, which
stock,
is
for stock clocks.
For stock clocks, which is manageable, but it's
no, that's overclocked.
It's getting up there as far as if you want to, you know. And the thing is, again, we say this because you're not going to be putting full load, at least most people aren't going to be putting full load on their CPU all the time, right?
No, but there's a time when it does.
Yeah, there's a time when either you're encoding or you're outputting photos in Lightroom, because that actually does take up all the cores.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're doing 100 photos, that's you're going to get hot.
It's going to be jamming for a little while.
Yeah, and we were at over 90C overclocking this, so that's also, you know, if you want to run overclocks, you know, and it has
what,
a lot of...
What sort of speeds at 90?
5 gigahertz.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially considering you're on a Kraken. You're not on a custom water cooling loop.
Yeah, so it is good. Obviously, this could have been remedied by delidding and doing liquid metal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the only downfall I would say with this part. I think the biggest thing is that we've been wanting a core increase on mainstream from Intel for a long time, and we finally have it.
Yeah.
And the performance is there. The single core performance has improved, while not dramatically. It's improved. The thing that sucks about this is the 7700K came out in January, you know, and we're not even a year later, we have this part that drastically outperforms it, at least by 35% in multi-core performance.
Yeah.
And while the socket is technically the same size, you need a new motherboard to run this. So it's not like if you had a 7700K, you could just buy this chip and throw it in your Z270 board. You have to buy a new board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the downfall.
Yeah, but a lot of times you like to jump on the manufacturer for that, for poor timing or whatnot, but this is really just reactive marketing on their part, or development on Intel's
part.
This isn't like... screw you guys that bought the 7700K. This is, hey, we're kind of getting taken to task here by AMD, so.
Yeah, and it needs to be a different... The reason that it will... We have a new story on this, but the pin layout is technically different, which we'll go over and when we cover the news, but that's the reason.
Yeah, and when you get into it, it's totally logical.
Yeah, so... That's a downfall. You know, if I had, even if I've, you know, a lot of people have bought a 7700K within the past month, you know?
Yeah.
And I would be pissed because if the 8700K, you know, is 35% better.
You kind of wasted your money a bit.
Yeah.
Although, price-wise, you probably didn't spend as much.
True. Very true. But a great part, a great flagship mainstream part. This is just taking things to the next level, which we've wanted from Intel for a while. And, you know, we could debate if it was a reaction to AMD. I think most of us really...
I don't think it's a debate.
Yeah, most people think that. But it was something that was needed. And this is the first thing we've heard rumors of an 8-core mainstream chip possibly in 2018. We don't know. But this is a great chip. This is a great flagship chip. But I also had the chance to take a look at the i5-8400, and this is such a great chip. The real thing about this is a non-K chip, so no overclocking. It's 6-core, 6-thread, so no, Core i5s don't have hyper-threading.
Yeah.
But you can build an incredibly awesome gaming machine behind this. Both the 8700K and this 8400K were like the best in our gaming benchmarks. So if you are building a gaming system and you're not going to be doing overclocking, and you're even not going to be doing crazy high, you know, multi-threaded stuff like video encoding or any of that, if you just want a game, you can build an incredibly affordable system around this and, you know, like an affordable Z370 motherboard. You really can.
Just run with stock clocks and not worry about
it. Yeah, because there's no overclocking, so you have stock clocks. You don't have to worry about the higher temperatures either because this has a 65 watt TDP. You know,
where are they saving on energy then?
What do you mean?
Like if it's got a lower TDP, where are they saving at there? I'm just curious. It can't just be. Is the boost clock lower? Oh, the base clock is lower.
So yeah, the base clock
is
lower.
A slower part. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's a slower part. But it's a very effective part, especially in gaming. I was actually surprised that it was at the top of our benchmarks. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think this could be, you know, again, if you look at it, if you look at the SKU stack here, the i5-8600K, which is, again, 6-core, 6-thread, but it's fully unlocked, it's 257 while this is 182.
It's a chunk difference.
Yeah. So again, if you don't want to mess with overclocking, which a lot of people don't, you know,
Even if a lot of times, even when you are an overclocker, like, and that's something you normally do or you mess around with, sometimes you just don't.
Yeah.
You just build it and you don't want to have to keep tuning it.
Yeah. So you don't have to do anything with this. You just install it. It just runs. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think you can build a great gaming system around this, an affordable gaming system around this as well. You put a 1070, this, you know, some, you know, DDR4, 16 gigabytes of DDR4. Like, you have a really good system for not that much money. Well, besides the video card, because they're still all over the place. But, you know what I mean? This is a really good part. And its performance is awesome. So
nice.
So, yeah, it's
definitely something to consider.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a cool part.
Did this perform better than the 67 and the 77?
In some tests, yeah,
kind of really depended.
Yeah, it all depends on certain things,
core utilization.
Yeah, but in a lot of the tests, it did outperform the 7700K and 6700K just because it has 6 cores.
Yeah.
6 actual cores.
Yeah. Even though technically both of those parts have 8 logical cores, they only have 4 real cores.
Yeah. So it did really, really well in a lot of things. I think this is just like if you're looking in the mainstream, you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, or you want to put that other money towards instead of a 1070, you go for a 1080, something like that. This is a great part. Because a lot of people buy the K series thinking they're going to overclock or something like that. And, you know, to be honest, like with all my systems here, I don't run, you know, like my systems that I actually use, like I don't run them overclocked. There's no reason. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, there's a reason, but.
Yeah, it'll make your day to day faster.
Yeah.
No doubt. The system is definitely snappier when you overclock it, but. It's just sometimes it's just easier not to because you don't have to deal with instability and stuff.
Yeah, and you
can do a really good job overclocking, but you know they become unstable over time.
Yeah, so. And the thing is too is a lot of gamers, they just want to game. That's what they want to do. They just want to have a system that's up and ready, and they want to game with no problems. You know,
so
what
long
I mean?
As long as the game runs at an acceptable frame rate to them, they don't really care what the system's doing.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, I think this is a very solid part. I was really surprised by this. So definitely check out both of the chips. If we talked about it before, it being the 7700K, if you're building a gaming system, these two parts are perfect. You know what I mean? So,
and it's $75 cheaper than the 8600K.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Yes.
Looking at the processor chart, that 8350K is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Probably because it's a 4-core, 4-thread. So it's just 4 solid cores, but it's got a 91 watt TDP.
Yeah, and it's fully unlocked, which means you can overclock it.
Yeah, so that's pretty.
Yeah,
that's
for $168.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get one of them because I did the 7350K, which was a cool part as well. Mm-hmm. So
I'm wondering if you can if this is a part you can get to like 6 gigahertz. Stable.
You can see. You can see that TDP is kind of high, 91 watts though. Running in stock, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's got the ability for greater power draw, so potential. I think the potential is there.
Yeah. So hopefully I can get one of those into review because it would be a cool part to take a look at and see how how far we can kind of push that. But the biggest thing with the 8th generation, if you're running a K-series part, just make sure you have good cooling. You know what I mean? But you are going to see, if you have a 6700K, even a 7700K, and you're looking for better performance, especially multi-core, you can upgrade. As much as you might not want to or whatever, but if you feel like the need to upgrade, go ahead and do it, because you're going to be happy with these parts.
For sure.
So, yeah. So you took a look at a keyboard, and a rather, I would say, plain keyboard, but incredibly functional one this week.
Yeah, definitely. Reviewed the Cherry MX Board 3.0, which is, it's an office keyboard, if we're being honest, flat out. It's a Type-S keyboard. It's actually got a couple of LEDs on it, but nothing really. It's just a nice standard deck. It's Cherry MX. Where did I get it in?
Browns. Yeah.
And which it obviously comes in, like all Cherry keyboards, you can get it in any of their switches. But the Browns, I think they really kind of like build this deck out like quite well. They finish it off quite well. It's let's see how to describe it. It's kind of I think it was very similar to a laptop. Like, it's pretty flat. It doesn't, even if you stand it up, it doesn't stand up that high. And the keys all lay pretty flat. There's no, like, curvature to the board. And so if you're kind of used to being out during the day, typing on your laptop, it's a really easy board to transition to back to the office or something. And the Browns are nice and quiet, but they still have a really good feel to them. They're really fast. I feel like the return is really quick on them. So they really do make typing pretty easy. I just like the board.
Nice. While there are a ton of gaming boards, for people who do a lot of typing, I know some people that do actually have two keyboards. They have their gaming keyboard and they have their typing keyboard. Yeah. And, we've seen so many companies have, the middle ground. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need that extreme gaming keyboard and sometimes you need that extreme typing keyboard.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good choice. And the one thing about Cherry products, at least the ones that I've had my hands on, is that they're incredibly high quality.
Yeah, certainly.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a solid, heavy board. It's not going to move around on you at all. Or it shouldn't. I wouldn't think it comes with rubber grippers that you can install that is, just really grip the surface that you've got it on. It's, I wouldn't, like you said, people have two boards. I wouldn't recommend this as a dual-purpose board.
Gotcha.
It's just, when I gamed on it, I would, miss keys and stuff. And maybe I'm just not good, but I felt like...
You're not very good at games. We know this.
But I felt like... There were things that wouldn't have occurred on a different board.
Gotcha. Now, how do you feel?
It was a little bit different.
How do you feel about the price? It's like $80. Do you feel
$80 is pretty good? I mean, it's a good price for mechanical, right?
Gotcha.
It's just there's not. You can get a flashy mechanical as well, but you're not gonna get Cherry keys. It's a good price for a board with Cherry keys.
Gotcha. Well, definitely check out Derek's review if you're looking for something like that. I think it's good that we take a look at products like that because while, our audience is a lot of gamers, there are a lot of typers out there and you need something that's reliable and that just kind of puts you in that typing zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you've got a good board and you're writing and you're just flying, there's kind of nothing like that,
Exactly.
It's a good feeling.
Exactly. So our last review this week, I took a look at, while they may be boring, I think everybody needs one these days. Cell phone batteries are just horrible. I don't think there's a phone that has one that can last days. No. I don't believe there is one, especially for the amount of use we have on our phones. So a company called Ramos, I think that's how you say their name, Ramos? I don't know. They sent me three different power banks, and they all kind of serve a purpose. So first we'll start out with the smaller one, which is their Q series. It's incredibly small, so it's completely pocketable, which is nice. So going out as a guy, you don't want this big blob in your pocket. especially if you're wearing jeans or something like that. So this is 5,000 milliwatt amp hours and incredibly small, can fit in your pocket. One thing that's really cool is that the charging cable is actually integrated into the charger itself. So you don't have to worry about bringing your charger and charging cable.
It's actually kind of a big deal.
And one thing that's cool about this one is that it has a little, like, built into where the cable is held is a little adapter. So it's a little lightning adapter. So whether you're using an Android phone with micro USB or you're using an iPhone, you can charge either one.
What about Type-C?
No, they don't have. They might have a Type-C one. I'm not sure. but for most cases, this is great because, say, you want to charge your phone and it's micro USB, but I have an iPhone, a lightning cable. You know what I mean? You know, it's one charger for at least most devices. While again, most new Android phones do have micro USB, USB-C. Pretty cool, just little charger. It works well, and like I said, it's pocketable, which is a huge deal. You always need one that's pocketable, at least in my opinion.
Definitely.
The next one is their Ace 10, which is 10,000 milliwatt amp hours, so a lot of power there. This one's kind of, it is small, it is pretty compact, but it's thick, so it's not really pocketable. But this is like kind of like your one that I would say you would throw in your laptop bag or something, just to have always have with you. And one thing that's cool about this one, it has dual power input. It has lightning cable power input. So again, if you're an iPhone guy and all you have is your lightning cable and you want to charge your charger, say like you're in your office or something like that, you can charge your charger with your lightning with your lightning cable, which is cool. It has dual outputs on it. So it has the bigger 2.4 amp output and then a 1 amp output as well. So you can technically charge two devices at once. So
that one was 10,000?
Yeah, that's 10,000. And then finally, their bigger one, it's a little bit bigger. It's called the U-Power. It's just called the U-Power. And that one's also 10,000 milliwatt amp hours. It's cool. It's kind of cool. It's kind of designed. Like, you ever seen hard luggage? I guess that's what you call it, design.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, so it's sort of designed like that. And this is made to be like your travel power bank. So instead of charging via micro USB, you plug it into the wall. So it's a wall charger with two USB outputs. So it's kind of like a multi-function device because those outputs are still active when you have it plugged into the wall.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so basically you have it plugged in at your house and then you're going to go on the plane. You know, you have it for charging your devices while you're on the plane or at the airport or just, you know, traveling. Mm-hmm. And get to your hotel, plug it in. You can still plug in your other devices, but you're also charging the power bank at once.
It's pretty interesting that it can charge itself and pass power through at the same time.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'd like to see long-term testing on that to see how long it lasts, you know, like how long it keeps before it burns out. Because these things are like already have a tendency to kind of fail on you.
True, very true.
So, I'm just curious because that's a lot of energy passing through it, and you know, all at the same time, I'd like to see some long-term testing.
Yeah. But these are very affordable. The Q series, the first one's only $15, $14.99. The Ace 10, 10,000 milliwatt amp hours, $22.99, and the U Power is only $37.99.
That's not bad.
Pretty inexpensive, and I guess I'm going on a trip this week, so I'll be taking the big one, the U Power, with me. See how that kind of works out for me. So yeah, so cool stuff. That is our reviews for the week. So a lot of four reviews this week. That's a lot. I don't think we've done four reviews in a week in a while.
Get work done.
Plus we have other stuff. So we'll go to Case Mod Friday first, and of course, this is where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this time we have one that I love, because if you guys have listened to this podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of the Cougar Galaxy or the Galax Hall of Fame series parts. The white on white is, I just love it. Some people don't, but that's just me. I like all the Hall of Fame
white
parts.
White on white is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. All the Hall of Fame products from Galax are amazing. They're awesome. I like them. So this is done by our friends over at GGF LAN Party. They always do great builds, and their builds have a look to all their own. And they've done it inside the Cougar Conquer, which is a new case from Cougar, which is a pretty awesome kind of open style chassis case. And they've given it the Hall of Fame look. So they've changed all the colors, the white. Yeah. They're using Hall of Fame parts inside with the graphics card and the memory. It's pretty awesome, I think.
I like it. The case is very, very reminiscent of Inwin's cases.
Yes, yes. I think Cougar, they're going to be one of the brands that starts to do that a lot more.
Okay.
Which,
in that direction.
Yeah, because Cougar, they make a bunch of different products, power supply, gaming accessories, and cases.
They make really good fans, actually.
Yeah, they make really... I use their it was called the 600 something, 600K gaming keyboard. I literally used that for like a year. And you know how fast I switch... how fast I switch out keyboards. Like, that keyboard is really, really good for a long time.
They definitely seem to make a good product.
Yeah, so, you know... They've kind of gone this direction with a lot of the, you know, a lot of their newer cases, kind of out there, very Inwin-ish, as we said. Mm-hmm. And this is just a great build around that case. And the guys at GGF, they made it all white, you know, and it's not a whole lot of modding while there is some done. I mean, it's just a lot of white parts. They painted the case. They've done some custom water cooling. You know, so, it's just
they built a little Hall of Fame. What do you even call that? The that comes off the PCI.
Yeah, that's Ryzen, just Ryzen Advisor.
What is that? What is that called? The mounts where you mount the cards to.
The GPI or GPU mount. What do you call it? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's the
failing on this one, but yeah, they made like a little acrylic piece that mounts to the top where you would the expansion slots.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you would mount other cards, and that's kind of cool, but. Yeah, like you said, it's a very basic thing that like you could
yeah, it's a GPU support bracket. That's what it is.
Oh, it's actually supporting the GPU.
Yes, so that's what that is.
That's not a custom part they made.
I don't know if they made it. I know a lot of actually, I'm looking at these for my build. So
yeah, you got a little sag going on.
Yes,
there.
So
that happens when you get older.
Yeah, you know. but yeah, that is. I don't know if. They got that custom made, or they made it. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But everything.
Cool with the lighting they have behind it, because it lights up well.
Yeah. So this is just a really nice build, all white cabling. They do have that the Hall of Fame 1080 Ti that has the little screen on it, which is cool. You can't see it in the photos because the exposure. But the screen actually will show you temperatures and the speed of the card, which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's not RGB, huh?
I don't think this needs RGB. No. I think that this is just, you know, a nice looking white build. It looks like it has blue LEDs, which I like. Yeah, man, it's just a nice build. Not a ton of modding. Yeah, just some good stuff on there. So really cool. They also have a time-lapse build that we have on our post as well. You guys can check that out. Pretty cool stuff. Kind of show how everything went together in this. So yeah, so definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a full list of mods going back at least 3 years. Every Friday we post one. So definitely check all of that out. And that brings us to my build, which I think I made a pretty decent video on. And we call this the... You didn't like my video?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You didn't like my video? So if you go to our YouTube page, I put a video up on the $4,800 Ultimate RGB build, and this goes through the different parts, why I picked them, and it shows them off in the build. And you know, this build, as we talked about, was a long time in the making. I kind of had this idea reaching out to companies to get parts and kind of deciding the parts that I wanted for this too, because I can't just get this out of this was a themed RGB build, and I wanted it to turn out that way, and there were certain things that I wanted. And it's awesome. I mean, I'm running it right now. It is a really just awesome PC. I think the lighting turned out really well. I think that the performance is really, really great.
It's great, dude. It's a really sweet build. I mean, it's an all out we kind of have talked about it before. It's just an all out RGB build, and I think the goal you set out for, you accomplished, and you got a pretty nice video here to show it.
Yeah. The only thing is there is some GPU sag, which I'm looking at different GPU support brackets, because that I'm running the Aorus GeForce GTX 1080 Ti Extreme Edition, which is huge.
Yeah.
So we have some slight GPU sag, so that's something. What's the other thing? I think that's it. I think that's the only.
I think you could have gone with maybe like one more light strip in the back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But as it is, it's still really good.
Yeah. It looks really awesome. One of the things I was really happy about this is that I have no normal hard drive. I have all SSDs in here.
Yeah. Not only that, but you have just a ton.
Yeah, I have
storage.
I have three M.2s in here. And then I have two 1 terabyte SSD, you know, normal SSDs.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it is a it's an awesome build.
Yeah.
NZXT RGB fans, as well as the RGB light strips, as well as the Kraken X62 in there.
Yeah.
The G-Scale Trident Z RGB memory in there. Yeah, it's a N1 805i, which is very hard to find these days, that has the glass panel on the front with the Infinity Mirror.
Yeah.
You know, Zotac's 10th anniversary limited edition NVMe SSD in there. It's PCI Express.
RGB.
And that's one of the only ones that has RGBs, you know. And then the Aorus X299 Gaming 9, which has the most RGBs out of any motherboard out there. So, yeah, it's just pretty awesome, I have to say. And I'm just really happy how it came out. And I couldn't be happier with this build. It's just it makes my workflow so much better, you know, besides the way it looks. Obviously, we made it for looks, but... you know, upgrading from what I had before to this, and just the faster everything loads, it just makes life easier.
Definitely.
So yeah, so this is like, I think this is the first time that I've actually like thought of a build and put it, you know what I mean, like built it out. You know, a lot of the parts, like I said, we've said before, is we get these awesome parts into review, but we don't really get to use them besides testing, right?
Yeah, basically on to the next thing.
Yeah, so it's nice to be able to use these high-end parts on a daily basis, and this is just a start. So, you know, this was the RGB build, and then I'm redoing my desk setup as well with RGBs and different lighting and cleaning everything up, as well as the office is getting completely, not completely redone, but just reorganized and better workflow kind of stuff. So we'll have videos on all that kind of stuff coming up, so I'm pretty pumped about all of that. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so just a lot of stuff going on. But that brings us into the news, and we've had bad Vega news since it came out. Well, there's all this good news up to it, because, you know, we think...
There's only bad Vega news in my
opinion. Yeah. So this is the one piece of good Vega news that we've seen, is that Forza Motorsport 7... it recently came out, or is coming out, or I forget. It must be out.
It's come. I think it's out. Yeah.
Okay. It just
There's
come out.
There's actually a lot of news about this game. It's been.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy behind the upgrade system. It's basically pay to buy new cars.
Ah, that's how they ruin games.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but that's not really what this is about at all.
This is
barely even actually about the game. It's just an interesting little fun fact.
So apparently this game was actually optimized for Vega, which is good.
Good for them. Sure.
And that's, if you look at everything, especially a 1080p, the Vega 56 and 64 outperform a GTX 1080 Ti. At 1440p, the Vega 64 beats the 1080 Ti, and the Vega 56 is right below the 1080 Ti.
Yeah.
And then we move on to 4K. The Ti wins. Not by a decent amount. You know.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that when you move up to 4K that the 1080 Ti wins, because the Vega should have... it's got faster memory, right? And a lot of the higher resolution comes down to the memory.
Yeah.
So, I just think that Vega is cursed when you start digging into it, man.
Yeah. But I think this is good. It shows that game optimizations do work. But how much extra work was that for the developer? And how, you know, this is the thing that's always difficult, and we've talked about this for 10 years, is that if a game's optimized for NVIDIA, you know, am I going to get the NVIDIA? You know what I mean? It just makes things difficult.
It kind of ruins gaming a little bit.
Yeah.
When you pick a card that it'll pick hardware that it's going to work best on.
So. Yeah. So that's the one good piece of Vega news that we've had in the past month.
Well, and it's only going to be good news for them until probably the next AMD or NVIDIA driver comes out, and then
Yeah.
It's better optimized for this game.
Yeah. So, also talking about graphics card related news is that FutureMark is going to be releasing a new TimeSpy Extreme benchmark. So, TimeSpy came out, and that was like the DX12, you know, really kind of pushing your graphics card.
Yes.
But this new one, TimeSpy Extreme, will be 4K Ultra HD DirectX 12. You'll need at least 4 gigabytes of video memory to even run the test.
It's a pretty early test, man.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And they said that this benchmark is made for processors with 8 or more CPU cores as well. So we'll see how, you know, Ryzen and Threadripper and the high-end desktop parts should do better in this test because they have more cores now.
Yeah, I hope so.
So this is kind of going to be like the next highest end, you know, this is what we're going to be testing our high-end graphics cards on. And it comes out October 11th, so very soon, a couple days.
Yeah.
Seeing
this in action. I think, to me, the most interesting thing about this is that it now also has support for the AVX2 instruction set.
Yes.
So this thing is going to be cooking your processor.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yes. So it's good to see that. It's always good to see new benchmark tests come out there. I'll move on to processor related stuff, and a lot of stuff obviously has to do with 8th gen. We've talked about this guy's crushing it right now.
Dude, he's like it.
Yeah. DeBauer got his hands on, of course, the new Core i7 8700K, which we reviewed, and he did his overclocking, which is always amazing, and does LN2 and crazy stuff.
Delidded,
yeah. So he delidded and did everything. And
did you also see the IHSs, the custom IHSs he has coming out?
Yes,
they're,
I did,
like,
see
what
that.
What are they, 98% copper or silver, excuse me?
Silver, yes.
Yeah. They're pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, so he was able to get this up to 7.3 gigahertz on all of the 6 cores.
Sick.
You know, just
with,
awesome.
With all 6 cores, that's the neat part. And I believe hyperthreading enabled, yep.
Yeah.
He's got everything. Yep, that's pretty impressive.
Must
have been pretty cold.
Yep.
What else? Oh, yeah, he also did the... we have another article on it, so we'll just talk about it in the next one.
Yes.
As far as the deleting.
Yes, so... Somebody else, not him, but somebody else. Well, he did as well, but delidding the 8700K reveals that, one, we talked about this in a review, is that we just have thermal paste between the CPU die and the integrated heatsink, which obviously if you had liquid metal or something else, you would have better thermal performance.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the 8700K die is larger, which makes sense because we have 2 extra cores.
Yeah.
You know, so, man, I think that if Intel ever makes that leap to something else...
To a soldered thermal material?
Yeah. I think that, one, I think it's going to take overclocking to the next level, and I think, two, it's just going to make the parts better.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, they know this, right?
Yes.
It's been like this for 4
long
years?
Long times. Yes.
5 years? I wonder if this comes down to process. I don't think you can chalk it entirely up to cost. I think that there is a cost factor in that, and that you can see in that they use what they say is actually a better thermal paste in this than they've been previously using. So I mean that's a good thing, but I don't think it's entirely a cost factor. It's just they're too consistent. And I would have thought by now they would have figured out a way to mitigate the greater cost. So I'm wondering if it's a process thing where they're losing parts when they're doing the liquid metal heat or paste or whatever you want to call it.
Possibly.
Thermal material. So maybe there's something more to it than we know about.
Yeah, not exactly sure what the deal is, but I know many enthusiasts have wanted parts with liquid metal. They just have.
The soldered heat spreader is just... It takes the work. You don't have to do the work then, because essentially that's what you're doing when you delid. You go back in and you put in a much better thermal material and then put the lid back on.
Yeah.
So if you've already got metal in there, there's nothing more. There's no upgrade, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's still disappointing to me.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when we have the results that you saw. Like, you shouldn't just be in the 80s. Like, seriously, I don't care what the load is. The stock temperatures should not be in the 80s.
Yeah, on a decent AIO.
Yeah, like, yeah. On a stock AIO, which probably there isn't one now, but it probably doesn't come with AIO, does it?
Or, no.
Sorry, the stock cooler, it probably just comes
with AIO. It does not. All the K-Series chips will not come with stock coolers. I'm not sure about the 8400 if it does or not.
Okay. But even if you went with something with the equivalent to that, oh my gosh, the thing is going to, like, thermally shut down just,
yeah,
like, rendering photos.
Yeah. The thing is, in these new processors, they do have their thermal throttling.
Yeah.
Basically, it will downclock the chip to get cooler temperatures.
Which is better than blue screening.
Yes, better than blue screening. Make sure, by default, it's on. You can turn it off, which I wouldn't recommend.
Unless you're overclocking.
Yeah. If you're overclocking, if it hits its thermal limit, it will downclock even if you're overclocking.
Yeah, but if you're overclocking and you're doing any sort of benchmarking, you already know your temperatures are going to be high. You probably have cooling for it, so you probably want to switch that right off.
Yeah, so disappointing. Hopefully, maybe next generation. We'll never know. That's how the thing is, I said, is when I was reviewing the really high Core X chips, I said that would have been the thing that separates the Core i9 from the Core i7, right?
Yeah.
If you get a Core i9, you're getting liquid metal. Like, that would have been cool.
Definitely.
Especially the price. But,
definitely.
You know.
That's why I think it might be a process thing where, like, they're killing chips or something, you know, when they're doing it. Like, a certain percentage, they're having a certain percentage of waste. And just by going this route, they have zero waste.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty obvious thing to me to do.
For sure.
Like, from a manufacturing standpoint, at least. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, hopefully if that is the issue, they can resolve it within these next couple generations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be cool.
It'd be
to
nice.
See.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So we talked about the pin layout on Coffee Lake or the new 8th gen. And the pin layout is actually different.
Yes.
While it uses the exact same size socket, so all of your previous coolers will work on this no problem. And the actual socket looks the same. The pin layout is different. The big difference is that the VCC pins, which are pins that are for power,
mm-hmm.
there's actually 146 on new Coffee Lake chips, while there's only 128 on Cabby Lake chips. So that is the reason why you need a new motherboard, and you can't say flash a Z270 motherboard to work with these new ones, or you can't use... Yeah, you can't.
you just need the power delivery.
Yeah, you need it. So
it's kind of nice that they were able to figure out, for the manufacturers at least, to the same socket spec. It probably saved them some research and money on that front, at least.
The physical size
of it stayed the same. So, but not saving the consumer anything, unfortunately.
And it wasn't like a big fiasco like AM4 was when the Ryzen launch happened, because there was like two CPUs or two CPU coolers you could use, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's things were like delayed and came out longer, and a lot of people who had cooling solutions were like, the AM4 kit like was delayed or something because there was issues with the manufacturer, with AMD. Like, there's no problem here. If you have an LGA 115X cooler, it's gonna work on this, you know what I mean? So shouldn't have a problem.
Everything should work on this.
Yes. Asus has introduced that Hyper M.2 X16 riser card. That's the one that the Bauer used to do crazy M.2 rating with.
Rating,
The thing that's cool about this is that it is a true X16 card. So each of it supports four M.2s. So each of those will have the full PCI Express 3.0 X4 speed.
That's pretty sweet.
You know, I think this is a great card for a couple of reasons. One is because if you want to do some crazy rating stuff, you can do it. And this is only... They say this only works on their X299 boards for some reason. Not sure why.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because technically, it should work on anything that has X16 bandwidth.
Yeah, and maybe it's the possibility of dropping down to times 8.
But if you were even running
you think it would just cut the bandwidth down, right?
Yeah, and technically, DeBauer used this on an X399.
No.
That was the whole story, is that right. he did that.
Yeah, because it could, he actually got the RAID to work.
So I think ASUS is just saying that because
they want you to buy those.
They want you to buy the high-end desktop, and you know, if you're going to be doing this on a Z370 or something, it is going to drop down because you only have 16 lanes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, for your expansion slots. You only do. So
maybe if you have an onboard video and. Like, I don't know. That is a possibility, though. I mean, there is the situation where, like, you're the guy that's just, like, doing a lot of encoding or data analysis or something. Like, your video output, you can easily run off of the CPU. But maybe you need... you probably wouldn't have a board that needed this anyways, I guess. But there might be a world in which the need for this exists.
Yeah. Situation. You know,
the thing that I got excited for is I'm excited for EK's water block because you know it's coming.
Get that, it should, that right?
Dirty I think fan out of there.
Yes, yeah. So many people are commenting on this saying that it needs a full cover block.
Dude, totally. Yeah.
You know, so it does have the integrated fan, and it has a kind of shroud that's aluminum that acts as a heat sink as well. So your M.2s are going to run nice and cool as well.
Yeah, this is, and it looks really good too.
Yeah.
But nothing beats a water block.
Very true.
Let's be honest.
So EK better put one out.
Yeah. I'm thinking they will. This is just too much the perfect shape to make a water block for.
Easy. I agree. Money. Easy. Yes. Money. Yes. And so it might be an interesting thing to see what would happen if the card is capable of those of the M.2s dropping down, right?
Yeah. Like if it still functions without the full lanes,
yeah,
lane support, it'd be cool to get one and just try it on older boards,
yeah,
just to see what you,
because that's the cool thing about this board, right? Is say you're rocking like X99 first generation, you have the lanes technically, definitely, but you don't have any M.2. You know, a lot of the first generation X99s don't have any M.2s.
Yeah, yeah, but like your system is actually still fairly powerful,
right? Yeah, very, very fast. You know, so this gets you
where you need.
Yeah, this could be a nice little upgrade, so that'd be kind of cool to see if that would work that way.
And it's not anything, it wouldn't have anything to do with the NVMe or
no,
the card handles that.
Yeah,
this is just data input. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably get one and start testing it. Like, I want to see it on, you know, the 297s.
Z97, you mean?
Yeah, Z97. Yeah, yeah.
Z97? Yeah. I still have a Z97 rocking over here.
Yeah, I want to see this on, like, older boards.
With the 4790K, man.
Yeah, send me one.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would want to install this on my... I still have an X99 system here running as well, so...
It'd be fun to see what you can make work.
Yeah, so no word on pricing, I don't believe, on this as well. It can't be that expensive.
I want to say it can't be, but I also want to say that
it's ASUS.
It's ASUS. So.
Yes. One cool thing. So at Computex, Cooler Master was showing off their H500P, which is sort of like the next generation of their half cases, their high airflow cases. And the half series was incredibly popular. I know so
too
many people
popular
that had these cases. They were really great. They had a lot of storage options, and of course their name, they were high airflow, so you had really great cooling. Their new HP 500 kind of just showed up on Newegg, and it looks like it's going to be available October 10th, so in 2 days.
Cool.
And this thing is pretty awesome. Tempered glass side panel, two 200 millimeter intake fans. And it looks like it sort of has like a glass panel on the front
as
well.
It does, too. Yeah. Draw from the top then.
Yeah, a lot of really cool things with this case. The two front fans have RGB lights in them. I think this is going to be a nice case. It's going to be $149. which it's doesn't a good seem price. Yeah it's for the price. Two fans plus at least one tempered glass side panel on the I would hope that front is tempered glass.
Yeah,
I don't know if it is,
which is cool. That's something we've not seen with the Bend. You know what, I bet it's not tempered glass.
Never know.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
With that price, with those Bends?
We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. It's, at the very least, it's a very mature-looking half. It's not just, like, the same thing brought back out, right?
Yes. So. And I think they're doing the right thing with tempered glass, obviously.
Yeah.
And,
I think I like everything about this case.
Yeah. It, full PSU cover, tons of water cooling support, obviously.
Yeah. Riser card for the
I don't CPU. Know if... That no, is just for show. Okay. I know Cooler Master makes that accessory,
so you can do it.
So you could probably do it.
Oh, it looks like there's mounts though, even on the new egg photo. It looks like there's
Case has the mounts, but you need the adapter for it,
right? The actual riser card, which is probably only like what, a $15 part.
Cooler Master makes it. Cooler Master makes a universal one. So I'm not really sure. Oh no, it says built-in vertical graphics card mount, so possibly it comes with the riser cable.
Yep.
That'd be nice. So if that's a good deal. $149. It says $154 right now, which I don't know why.
It's sold out. It's either sold out of pre-order or they're just not available yet to order.
Yeah. So, but it's good to see it come out. I like it. Hopefully we'll try to get one in for review here so we can kind of see what it's about.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So that is the end of the news. Kind of not a whole lot of news, but some really interesting stuff. And that brings us to next week. And we have some cool stuff. So I'll be taking a look at the Asus Prime Z370A. That's the motherboard that I did all of the testing on for the 8th gen. So this is
cool.
You know, the Prime series from Asus is their entry level series. It gives you all of the features you want on whichever platform you're getting it on, and just none of the crazy extras, you know what I mean?
It actually looks really nice though.
It is a nice board. I like their color design. This board has USB 3.1 Gen 2. Have a little bit of RGB lighting on there. Two M.2s, good audio NVMe. Solution. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You know, and the bottom one actually has an integrated heatsink that is part of the PCH heatsink, which keeps the overall design of the board really nice.
The wraparound heat spreader down there?
Yes. So that is, so there is the M.2 down there. It's just a good board, solid board. This is 100 and I forget how much this board is, but it's not expensive. It's like 100, 180, 170, 180.
I was just gonna guess.
That plus that i5-8400.
Oh, $400.
You know,
less than 400, really.
Yeah. So like you're looking at
set.
So I talk about that in my review, how you can build a really awesome system built around those two parts. So
definitely. Can you get 16 gigs of DDR4 for $40? I don't know if you can. I think it would have had to have come down there and get some really cheap stuff.
So, Patriot Viper Elite is $149.
Definitely not.
Corsair Vengeance is LPX is $148. Yeah, it's up there.
It's way up there. I was hoping you could, for $400, you could do board, processor, and RAM. That would be. It's still. This is a good value right here.
Oh, yeah. Very, very good value.
And it looks good.
Yes. Good stuff. Like I said, definitely stay tuned next week or tomorrow. The review's launching tomorrow.
Where does this fall within the line as far as Prime?
It used to be
like you had like the Deluxe right at the top end before you got to like the gamer boards.
Yeah.
How does this line go now?
They released their kind of new one, but it's like Prime and the Tough series kind of sit around the same. Like their Tough series, like
they're similar features, but without the thermal armor on these.
Yeah, and those go through the more rigorous testing and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, the military grade components and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so it's just basically like Prime, and then like Tough is kind of like a little bit above Prime, I would say, and then you have Strix, and then you have ROG. I believe that's how it goes. Or like.
Okay.
Strix is within ROG, I guess.
Interesting.
So it's
interesting. So this is kind of just consumer?
Yeah, this is like your entry level consumer board. It has doesn't have a whole lot of gaming features. It doesn't have a whole lot of overclocking features. It's just like their default feature set.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But then that doesn't mean that it won't do any of those things.
Correct. I mean, in, like I said, every major motherboard manufacturer has this series.
Yeah.
Gigabyte has their... What is it called? I can't think. Maybe their Pro Series. I forget what their series is called.
I don't know. I don't remember.
But then, you know, with MSI, we have their... theirs is called their Pro Series. So that is like... We reviewed all of their SLI Plus boards, which is basically this.
Right.
And then Gigabyte has their Ultra Durable Series. Like so their UD4 would kind of relate to this.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, so it's that series. It's kind of like, again, all of the major features. But I think Asus does a really great job on this. Again, I'll go... Definitely stay tuned
They're
tomorrow.
Always solid boards.
Yeah. So really good stuff. Great software package, great BIOS, all that kind of stuff. So definitely stay tuned for that review. And then I'll be looking at something a little bit different, but something pretty cool. It's a really cool company called Fabric. They make two speakers now. When I requested this, they only made the one. And this is their Rift Smart Speaker. It's a small little speaker, $50. They actually sell it at Target.
Really?
It's a Bluetooth speaker. Sounds really cool. It's called Fabric because the outer design is like fabric. So it
wrapped in fabric.
Yeah, so it actually looks pretty cool too. But besides being a Bluetooth speaker, it's a smart speaker. So it works with Amazon Alexa. But one thing that's cool about it, if my Alexa is going to go off because I start talking. one thing that's cool about it, if you are, I know you are, you're super crazy about security, right?
Sure.
And Amazon, I'm not going to say, I can't even say the name.
You've already made a purchase.
I know. My Alexa's sitting here, and every time Alexa's always listening.
Yeah.
I only send audio back to Amazon when I hear you say the wake word.
Exactly.
For more information and to view Amazon's
Alexa, stop.
Notice,
so, anyways,
I only send audio back to Amazon when I
Alexa,
hear you
stop.
Say
so, anyways,
there we go.
It's always listening, as you can see, because every time you say that word,
yeah.
So with this, it's not always listening. You have to press a button. For people, I know you're pretty crazy about security and all that kind of stuff. This gives you support for Amazon service, which I'm not going to say the name because I don't want my speaker to go off again.
Yeah.
But it gives you that, and it's a better speaker too than like the Echo Dot, which I have sitting here. It's just a better speaker. It's a Bluetooth speaker, and because it's smart and it runs, you can run it either Bluetooth or over Wi-Fi. You can get a couple of these and link them, so you can have multi-room music, which is cool.
Yeah, so you can stream from over Wi-Fi.
And it just looks awesome. It looks really cool. There's a ton of different designs and things like that. It's a cool little speaker.
Super hipster.
Yeah, super hipster. but it's really cool. It can be a travel speaker or anything like that. So I saw it and I thought it was really cool. So they sent one else to us. And that's going to be included in our smart home article, which should be coming out in the next couple of weeks, where I have a ton of smart home products doing my first kind of smart home thing all around Amazon. So pretty cool.
Sweet.
And then we have our worst PC setups article, which will be coming next week as well. And that is where we go out and find 20 really horrible PC setups and kind of show them off to you guys. Just reminds you of either moving, college, or before you became a normal human and cleaned up after yourself. So we will have that next week. That's always one of our most popular articles of the month. A little bit late this month because we've had these Intel launches and it's just been crazy. And then finally, we're doing another giveaway. So we have one giveaway going on right now. We're giving away the, what's it called? I can't think of it now. We are giving away currently the Unitech USB charging station. So that's that huge charging station that I reviewed that has 10 USB ports, organizes all of your USB devices. We're giving away one of those currently. But we are also going to be giving away a Corsair product next week. Not going to tell you what it is, but we're giving one away. And just like the Unitech one, this is 100% worldwide. So I know a lot of our contests are US-based, but this is completely worldwide. So it's going to be really easy to enter, just like all of our contests. So definitely stay tuned for that. So that is
nice.
That's all the stuff we have going on. A lot of stuff going on, man. It's going to be a busy week next week. And Also next week, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to say, or I actually don't even know what's technically going to be, things are going to be announced or whatever, but I will be going to Western Digital headquarters next week in for an event. So if there's anything that comes out of that, I will I'll let you guys know. We'll be posting it up on the site. So
awesome.
So yeah. So at the end of every podcast, we talk about if we did anything cool or tech related or geek related or just you know, anything. Yeah. Did you do anything cool?
Not really. I think I already mentioned I started playing Doom, so that's about all I've
done. Yeah. Are you getting into that or just
I'm casual? Trying. I'm doing my best to get better. I'm really not good at it.
Well, you know, we know you're not good at games, so
yeah.
It happens. I obviously I built my PC, which I'm pretty pumped about.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of that smart home stuff, which I said, and kind of doing more of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just completely redoing like the office kind of setup, organizing cables, which is not fun, but it makes everything look better.
It's kind of fun.
It can be.
Depends on who you are.
Yeah. So just making the whole desk setup look like I can't do completely no wires. Like I'm not going to, I love this desk too much to drill into it and hide my cables like, you know, right down from where they come out of my device.
Right.
But I'm trying to do as least cables as possible on the desk, around the desk, coming out of the PC, like all this kind of stuff. So I bought all this cable management stuff. Hopefully we'll have an article on this stuff coming out in the next few weeks. But it's been fun. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just getting used to this new PC. Everything's faster, better workflow. And
sweet.
Yeah,
just getting it set up.
Wait,
getting what? Getting all your programs and everything going?
Yeah, so like I said, I installed Steam last night. You know, getting some games. I installed Fortnite last night. Going to try that Battle Royale thing that I've, all the kids are talking about.
Yeah.
I haven't got PUBG. I don't know.
PUBG is the devil.
Yeah.
It's just such a time waster.
Yeah. So, and with so much stuff going on, if I do get a game I really like, I don't want to just, you know.
But here's what PUBG does. Okay, so something good will happen. Or something bad will happen. And then you've got to try again. And next thing you know, you've spent like 4 hours on this game. And you've really not done anything at all. It's just the same grind over and over again. And it's so... I don't know. It's such a mixed bag of like feelings while you're playing it, because like nothing happens half the time. Like you're just literally in a running simulator, running from like just trying not to get killed when the zones close in. And so I'm really curious about Fortnite's version.
I had played Fortnite when it was in beta, and I like the idea of building stuff. I don't know if you can do the PUBG. I don't think you can. So like sort of build, I don't know the, again, you guys are probably laughing at us because I don't know. I haven't played the Battle Royale part of Fortnite, but if building is involved in some sense, I might like it more because I like that style. So besides
it creates other like opportunities for fun too.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times like
decoys and stuff.
In games, I like to play the engineer and build things and help my teammates out that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I also installed that, so I might give it a shot tonight. Although
that's free to play, right?
Battle Royale is, yes.
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 Fortnite is not, but the Battle Royale part is.
Yes. I did want to go see that new Tom Cruise movie tonight, though.
What new Tom Cruise movie?
American Made.
Oh, I don't know about that. I need to see... why am I blanking on it? Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah, Blade Runner. Blade Runner,
yeah.
I heard it was good. What I saw, the previews, it looked really good. Harrison Ford, one of my favorite actors of all time. Indiana Jones, my favorite action hero of all time. So,
yeah. Just the fact that it's gotten good reviews was like, oh, really? Because I kind of expected to hear bad things.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited for that now.
Yeah. So, lots of cool stuff. Derek and I are both trying to see some
stuff
movies.
Stuff on the radar. Stuff on the
radar. And there's a lot of cool stuff coming up with the site. And we're getting into holiday season, so a lot of new products.
And we're getting up towards CES again.
Yeah, CES coming as well. So a lot of stuff going on. Definitely stay tuned on the site, guys. We have a ton of stuff coming. Some really cool stuff into review as well. So just stay tuned for everything. As I always say, you can find us on your favorite podcasting software. Just search Think Computers, all one word, and we have a full show notes page that will have everything that we talked about. So if we said, you know, check out the article or check out the review, it will all be there. You guys can just click through and check everything out. So until next week, catch you guys later.